So now I'm on national television doing this interview and I'm freaking out because I'm like, it's such a loaded thing. I was just at this crossroads and I had like a split second to decide. And I don't even know why I picked the decision I picked, but I was just like, I can't lie.
I'm Gabriella Tavakoli-Bailey, and I've worked in unscripted television as an executive producer and TV executive doing what I love most, storytelling. I'm an extremely curious person, and I decided to do this podcast so I can dig in and learn about fascinating people living extraordinary lives. And I called up my very talented friend, Orly Minazad, who is a writer and journalist, and together, we are going to learn about people's journeys and provide you with a fun listen and a good time. Welcome to Tell Us Something We Don't Know. My stepdad is obsessed with wrestling, and he is going to be so excited that we have with us today, Daria Baronado. Daria, aka Sonya Deville, transitioned from MMA to pro wrestling, being the first openly gay female wrestler in the WWE. She was also on E's Total Divas, and last year launched Demandy's Donuts. Welcome, Daria.
Hello. What's up, guys? I love that intro. Thank you.
Did I do a good job?
Such a good job. And shout out to your stepdad. What's his name?
Hakeem. Oh my gosh.
Hakeem. What's up, Hakeem?
I'm so excited. He's going to be so excited.
I love that.
Let's just figure out one thing. Did you know that your name translates to ocean in Farsi?
I had no idea.
Really?
No, I researched like what my name meant when I was like a kid one time. And I remember it said like something with like royalty. And I was like, oh, cool. But that was like on a random like Google search like 12 years ago. So no, I had no idea. It was ocean.
Yeah, that's why I was struggling with saying it. So yeah, so we say Daria.
You can say it your way. It sounds cooler.
What is your background though?
I'm predominantly Italian. Yeah. I think I have a little German and English in there as well, but yeah, mostly Italian.
Nice. Have you been to Italy?
For work, I have. Yeah, I have yet to go for leisure, but I really want to go and like do the Amalfi Coast and go to my ancestor towns and stuff and kind of just like really explore.
And just eat. I mean, that place is just really,
I remember my dad going and he's like, especially on the coast, obviously, it's like a lot of seafood. And I was like, I want to go wherever there's like a lot of pasta and carbs because that's like predominantly my diet choice.
And donuts.
And donuts, of course. Yeah. Which is also carb.
Which I can't wait to get into and how that whole thing kind of started. So, you know, you're this superstar in your world. And how did you get into wrestling MMA? Like, how did it all start for you?
Going back a little deeper, but I was basically at home with my mom. I was 15 years old and I was typical teenager, like bored of the monotony of high school and the routine. And I just wanted to do something else. I was always super motivated to like, what's next? And I was sitting at home and I was like, Mom, should I learn how to play an instrument or should I start fighting MMA? Because I had known a girl who was training in jujitsu and I thought it was cool, whatever. And so my mom was like, oh, you should learn to play an instrument. That sounds nice. Like maybe the piano. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fight MMA. And she was like, what?
They couldn't be more different, by the way.
You know what it was? It was like, I needed something to strike my endorphins, adrenaline. Like I needed something to put my passion into too. I just needed something. So I went with MMA and my mom drove me 45 minutes away to the local boxing gym. And you know, I walked in there and there's this short bald guy that ran the place and he's like, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, I want to fight. And he was like, you want to fight? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right. And I was in like street clothes, like normal clothes. I wasn't in workout clothes. I was just going in to sign up and like check the gym out. And he's like, you ready to work out? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, put you through a little workout. We'll see how you do. And if you do good, you can join the judo team or whatever. And I was like, okay. My mom sat there and watched. She sat in like the seats in the front and watched. And it was like burpees into pull-ups, into box jumps. It was like a crazy high intensity workout. He just wanted to really test me mentally.
Right.
I was an athlete my whole life. And so I crushed it. And I was like, what now? And he was like, okay, you can come to the gym tomorrow after school. And so that's how it all started.
Yeah. So what kind of sports did you do in high school?
Everything. I did lacrosse, basketball, and soccer. A little bit of track and field. I wasn't like great at any of them. I was good, but I wasn't great at any of them. And I knew that I didn't find like my thing yet. And I knew I wasn't going to go to college on a scholarship to any of those sports. And so I really wanted to find the thing that was going to be my thing after school. I had kind of seen some women coming up in the MMA world back at that time. It was like Chris Cyborg, Gina Carano. And I was like, wait, like women can do this. And like, there's a path for us. And it wasn't big yet, but I saw the future in it. And I was like, I want to be a female MMA fighter. And so, yeah, I trained. And then the day of my high school graduation, I moved to South Florida to train with one of the biggest teams, American Top Team. Then from there, I found my path to WWE, unintentional, but basically I met Maria Menounos and her husband, Kevin. She's the host on E! News and a bunch of things. And they had a podcast studio. And so I would go and host a UFC podcast at their studio. And one day I ran into Kevin, her husband, and we began talking. And he was like, I really like your energy. They're from New England area. So we kind of just like connected vibes. And they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I'm an MMA fighter. So they came to a couple of my fights. And long story short, they called me one day and they were like, well, what would you think if we said, we think you belong in WWE?
What?
And I was like, I don't even know much about WWE. I was like, what is it? And so he was like, well, there's this competition series called Tough Enough and the winner gets a contract. It's sports and it's entertainment mixed. It's basically the two things you're out in LA pursuing anyway,
right?
Combined. And I think you'd be great at it. And I was like, all right. So I took a tryout, a Zoom interview, the whole thing. And they were like, we're just putting your name in the hat. The rest is kind of on you to see if you fall in love with it. And I fell in love with it. And the rest is kind of history.
So Kevin and Maria, we have a mutual friend, my friend Kelly Freeman Craig.
Yes.
And she speaks very highly of them. And I feel like based on what I know, and I've briefly talked to Kevin too, I feel like that's so him to be able to like meet somebody and to instantly know their magic and their talent and kind of push them that direction. And so do you feel like a lot of kind of where you're at today is because of what he saw in you?
100%. And that's Kevin to the T. He's such a creator and he's such a creative mind. And he just like knows where things fall and how they should go. And he just sees stuff in people before they see it in themselves. And he's helped so many people along the way. Yeah, I was like 19 years old, hosting a UFC podcast at their network. And I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I was always a talker and I always knew how to kind of speak, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I did like this little audition for them because they were looking for pitches for new ideas for the network. And so I went in with a PowerPoint slide and I pitched them this huge thing. And
I love it.
Him and Maria are sitting in there and I'm like, oh my gosh. I walked out and Kevin like followed me out and he's like, me and Maria love your energy and like, we want to help you in whatever you want to do in life. And I was like, what? And I'm from Jersey. I'm 19, living in LA by myself. I'm like, who are these people? Are they legitimate?
Yeah.
Do they actually want to help me? Because like typical Northeast mentality, like, what do you want? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
No,
exactly.
You think you're getting murdered from the way they're saying it. Like they're going to take my organs and sell it for sure.
Yeah. I didn't know what it meant. I was like, is this guy like full of it? And so they ended up saying like, oh yeah, we're going to come to your next MMA fight. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then sure enough, a month later, I had my third MMA fight and Maria's dad was there. Oh, Kevin was there. And it,
they just
supported me like ride or die through the whole time I was in LA. And then when the Tough Enough thing came up, the tryout was actually for Maria. They wanted Maria on the show.
Really?
Yeah. Because she's done like celebrity spots with WWE in the past.
Right, right.
She's like, absolutely not. No, like, she's like, I'm too old for this. Like, this isn't my thing. But I have the perfect girl. She's 19. She's fresh from the Northeast. She has a look and attitude, whatever. She's an MMA fighter. Like, you guys would love her. And so she kind of put my name in the hat. And then I went through the process and everything. And I fell in love with it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was meant to be. And I met these amazing people along the way. And they're still, to this day, my best friends. I stay at their house almost every time I go to LA. So yeah, it's crazy.
I love that background. What is the difference, would you say, between MMA and WWE?
There's like a lot of commonalities and there's a lot of differences. I always say like WWE is so much fun because it's not just competing. It's also performing. So it's like you get to live out both of those worlds in one thing.
Right.
Obviously, MMA is more of a sport, but you know what? A lot of the similarity between the two is that you really have to be able to talk and have some sort of marketable persona to be in either industry, right? I mean, we look at the best of both. We look at the Conor McGregors and the Ronda Rouseys of MMA, and they're so successful because they're so talented, but also they know how to fill seats, you know, they know how to fill an arena, a stadium. So I think that's like a similarity that gets overlooked is like, you have to have the triple threat to be in either, right? To be at the top of either. They're just a lot alike. I think it helped me a lot coming from MMA to WWE with the physicality in terms of looking legitimate and having a good fight stance and having good footwork. I mean, that all is transferable to the WWE.
Seems like a completely different form of fighting that you had to learn, no?
It's an art. It's a teamwork thing. It's not a one-man sport. So yeah, absolutely, you're working together and you have to learn things that I would never learn in MMA. You know, there's acrobatics to it, but everyone has a style, right? In WWE. Right. And my style has always been more MMA based because that's my background.
That's background. Right. Yeah.
Some people specialize in flips and crazy tricks off the top rope. And my thing has always kind of been the gritty punching and kicking because that's obviously where my background lies.
Are there a lot of people that have your background that go into WWE?
So there was a lot of men over the years that made the transition. Obviously, one of the most famous being Brock Lesnar. But yeah, for the women, I was actually the first girl to have an MMA background coming into WWE. Now we have Ronda Rousey at WWE, Shayna Baszler, so many talented women with the MMA background, because I think it's a formula that works, right? It's something that it does definitely help. It's definitely an advantage coming in with some sort of background in fighting.
Ronda Rousey is in WWE now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, she was just SmackDown Women's Champion like a month ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I feel like in your industry, in your world, you've hit a lot of like the firsts. How has that been for you?
I think the reason why it's so cool, speaking of being the first openly gay female in the WWE, is because I look back 7-8 years ago when I came out and I wasn't comfortable with my sexuality and I was scared to speak my truth and be who I am. So now that I've gone through this journey and I'm a lot more comfortable, obviously, and hosting my girlfriend and talking about my life, I think it's cool messaging for anyone who's looking to be a wrestler, looking to be in the entertainment world or the sports world in general, to be like, you can be whoever you want to be. It doesn't mean that you have to talk about it or you have to share your story by any means, but you can.
Right.
And it's an open environment and it's an accepting environment. I've had all positive experiences, especially within the company. And it's just been a cool journey to kind of share with my fans and the people watching to say, like, you can be whoever you want to be. And none of that has anything to do with your career or what you want to do in life. Who we love doesn't dictate anything else. It shouldn't dictate anything else in our lives. And that's kind of just how I live my life. I just do me.
When you went on your interview, though, for Tough Enough, is that how it all came out in terms of your sexuality? Like, that wasn't something that you were kind of prepared to talk about?
Yeah. So I was doing the tryout portion and they were doing like a preliminary episode where they show everyone getting auditioned and interviewed. And so I was doing the interview portion where you're standing in the ring and they ask you questions, simple questions like, are you in a relationship? How old are you? Etc. And my first question just so happened to be, are you in a relationship currently? Which I feel like for any other contestant would have been like an easy like yes or no answer, right? Like, yeah, I'm single or yeah, I'm married. But for me, it was like this loaded question because I wasn't out at the time.
You weren't.
Besides to like my mom, my dad, and like maybe one best friend. But like nobody knew. Like, I was a bartender in LA at the time while fighting and everything. And like everyone just knew I had like a roommate or a friend, but I was not comfortable at that point to be like, oh yeah, I have a girlfriend. So now I'm on national television doing this interview and I get asked that and I'm freaking out because I'm like, it's such a loaded thing. Because first of all, the girl I was dating at the time was not out, not even to her mom or dad, like not out at all. But her parents knew she was living with me in LA. So like, if I said, it would have just blown up. And then I'm like, okay, but if I say that I'm single and I'm going into this reality show setting, they might want me to do like, you know, these angles and hook up with a, whatever it was.
Right.
And so I'm like, I can't lie on national television and make her feel unseen. And so I was just at this crossroads and I had like a split second to decide. And I don't even know why I picked the decision I picked, but I was just like, I can't lie. And I was like, yeah, I have a girlfriend. And I said her name. I was like, oh my gosh. And so after the interview was over, I ran upstairs to where all her bags were and I grabbed my phone out of my bag and I called her and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because her mom was like watching me on the show because she knew me as her friend. And I'm like, right. Oh my God, now she knows this is bad. And so I called her. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, it's fine. You did the right thing and whatever. And I was just like, so freaked out. So look at that moment. Yeah. And then we fast forward 8 years later to be so comfortable and open. And now I'm sitting here being like, speak your truth, live your truth. It's so ironic, or I never thought I would be here, I should say.
So how did her mom find out? Was it through that? Or she give her a heads up?
No, she found out through that, but like she already had like inklings and had already confronted me and been like, are you dating my daughter? And I was like, you should ask your daughter. Yeah, exactly. And like, that was funny because I can't even believe I'm telling this, but like she came up to my car window and said that. And my mom was on my Bluetooth and I was like, mom, don't talk. Like, just sit here. Yeah. She's like, all right, I'll stay on the phone. And I was like, okay. She comes up and she starts like confronting me and kind of yelling at me. And I'm like, you need to ask your daughter. And I know my mom's like itching to like scream through the Bluetooth and be like, leave my daughter alone. But like, she knew to stay quiet. And like the second she walked away, I was like, mom, relax. She was like, no, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. She wanted to talk. And like, start showing off.
Your back.
And I'm like,
I get it though. God. Like, your mom didn't go to her and say, you know, to your roommate and say, are you dating my daughter? You figure out your relationship with your daughter and, you know, let her answer you truthfully.
Yeah. And my mom's just like ride or die too. She just like loved me however. That. So it was crazy.
So you've been with your girlfriend for how many years now?
No.
Different that person.
That was a long time
ago. Okay. Got it. Okay. Current girlfriend though.
Current girlfriend. Love of my life. She's literally the best. Her name's Tony. We met like a year ago. It's actually the craziest story.
Tell us.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you all the gossip, all the tea. We were both following each other on Instagram, classic, for years. And she was in a relationship and I was in relationships prior. And so we never liked each other's pictures or DM'd each other. We just followed each other. So super respectful on both ends. But I would always look at her and her little family unit and I would always be like, oh my gosh, this girl is wifey material. She's from the Northeast. I'm from the Northeast and we kind of have like a similar vibe. And I just like loved her energy always on social media, but I was always respectful and stayed away. And I was like, I don't even know if she follows me, just like not by accident, but like just someone she follows or if she actually like sees my stuff. I didn't know.
Yeah. Right. And so, right. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know. It was an accident. So anyway, keep going. Okay.
You know, some people you follow, but like, you don't ever see their stuff. I don't know. Whatever.
You don't know why you're following them? Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Anyway, one day I'm literally talking to my best friend who lives with me at the time. And we're just like chit-chatting. And he's like, bro, like, what's your like dream girl? And I was like describing all these attributes, whatever. And like 5 minutes after that conversation, we are just chilling on my couch. And Tony DMs me and she's like, hey.
What?
And I'm like, yo,
that's random. Okay.
And I'm like, yo, the weirdest thing just happened. I've been following this girl for years and I'm like telling my friend this. Yeah. And I'm like, what I just described, I'm not going to tell you the attributes I described, but what I described was to the T, Tony. I'm like, she just DM'd me, hey. I was like, but she's got a girl and I'm not into that. And I was like, she's trying to do some sneaky, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what's up?
What's up?
What do you want?
What do you want? And she quickly then tells me that she's single. She's cleaning out the Instagram still, but like she's single. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I happened to have a show the next day, not far from where she lived.
Oh my gosh.
I just DM'd her and I was like, yo, I'm going to get you a ticket to my show tomorrow. Drive up and meet me and come to the show. And she was like, that's crazy, but okay, I'm down. The next day, I fly out, I go to my show. I got her ticket in the front row in the center, and I had a match. I wasn't supposed to have a match. I didn't think I was going to have to perform in front of her. I thought I was going to be off that night, and I could just take her to dinner after the show. But I ended up having a match, and so I'm doing my entrance down the runway, down the ramp, and I see her in the front row to the left, which I knew she was there,
right? But
I didn't think she was going to be so polarizing. And I'm doing my entrance and I literally see her out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, oh my gosh, millions of people are watching me right now. I'm not sure. I don't care. But this girl sitting here in the front row, I can't even do my entrance because my entrance is like, I face the front and I like do this look and this pose and whatever. And I'm like, I'm freaking out right now. She's too hot. Her energy is too much.
She is hot. I saw her on your Instagram.
She's so hot.
She is stunning. Both of you are
both of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And she has like a presence about her too. It's like, it wasn't what I was used to. And it was exactly what I wanted and needed. And so it was just so strong, her energy. And I just like looked and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And the girl I was wrestling actually said, she's like, is that your girl in the front row that you were talking about? And I was like, yeah. She's like, she's hot. And I was like, I know.
You're not helping.
You're not helping.
So how did the match go?
The match went great. I mean, that was like the first time she ever met me, was watching me sweat all over this mat and like act like a crazy woman. But she liked it and thought it was hot, I guess. I don't know.
So there was no connection at all with the guy you told your friend of what you wanted to her reaching out to you. Absolutely no.
No.
Okay, that's stuff that freaks Gabriella out, let me tell you.
This is the stuff I believe in. And yes, I always try to tell Orly, I say, whatever you want in life, you got to put it out there. And I believe in life.
Yeah.
And I always telling her, shut up. You're so annoying. But then you tell us a story like this and I can't tell her to shut up because she's going to be like, see?
I just eat this stuff up too. And it's like,
it's so good.
Love story. Oh, I love it.
I know.
You made her day on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day.
One of my good friends is really into like astrology and like, I'm like horrible with that stuff, but she did my chart and she said that I'm a manifesting generator, which quite literally means that all I have to do is kind of ask for what I want to happen, like set it into the universe.
Yeah.
And the universe like makes it happen. So like, I'm supposed to like manifest and try and like write out and speak out my desires and my wants and stuff. I probably just explained that really badly and she's going to kill me when she sees this, but
we follow.
You get the point.
Yes.
Can you manifest me a pizza right now? Because that would be
I think, honestly.
Just talking and it just shows up.
I think it'll just appear. It's very weird. I've like seen it a lot throughout my life in like patterns. I literally said when I was living out in LA, you guys are getting like all these stories out of me that I forgot about.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, I was living out in LA and I was a little bit homesick. Jersey's a long way away. And I was kind of lonely and on the grind and just doing my thing, trying to make it. And my mom was like, well, you could always, you know, move back to New York or the Northeast or whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to move back to the Northeast or anywhere. I'm not going to move out of LA until a job brings me there, because I came out here to be successful. I came out here to find work. I came out here to make my dreams happen. And I can't pack my bags and go home empty handed. I just can't do it. And then like that year, I got signed with WWE and they make you move to Florida.
Ah.
As you know, everyone from the Northeast, second home is South Florida.
Right. It's Florida.
And so it was like this weird thing where like I was brought back to the East Coast by a job. And so I just feel like manifestation is a very real thing. I have a lot of examples like that. But yeah, I just feel like it's real.
I'm going to get in on that, you guys.
Where do you live right now?
So I go back and forth between Jersey and Florida. So I kind of hop around right now. Yeah.
Gotcha. So Sonia Deville, how did you come up with that name? And what does that mean? Like, is it an alter ego? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So this is a funny story. The original idea was to name me NJ Deville, which would stand for New Jersey Devil, because my fight name in MMA was the Jersey Devil.
Gotcha. Okay.
Upper management was trying to kind of keep some of my organic spirit of who I was as a fighter and name me NJ Deville. But at the time, I just really didn't like being named New Jersey. Like, you know what I mean? Like NJ. Yeah.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't know, but like, I like keeping Deville. Like, I liked that. And they were like, all right, just pick a new first name. And I was like, okay. And so I went through like all the badass characters I knew, and like Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat popped in my mind. And I was like, Sonya. And they're like, all right, Sonya Deville it is. So that's kind of how it came to be. Who she is as a person, as a character. Her and Daria definitely have some similarities. Their passion, their relentlessness, their competitive spirit. But Sonya's definitely a little more entitled. Mm. And she's just super manipulative. She knows how to get what she wants, no matter what cost. And she'll do whatever it takes to get recognized and to be the best. And it doesn't matter who she hurts along the way or, Sonya cuts deep with her words. So,
So what I know about wrestling, most of it, 99% of it is from GLOW. Did you watch that? The Netflix show?
Yeah, I watched GLOW.
So I'm picturing you
at the gym with the girls practicing this and practicing in the mirror and brainstorming some, like, how do you actually perfect it the way you do when you actually come on the ring?
I do have a little bit of training, I should say, in acting prior, because I was out in LA. I was taking acting classes. I did stunt work courses. I did a little bit of acting training. So a little acting comes into play, but Sonia is definitely pulled from people that I know in my life and people that I've just encountered throughout my life. She's super narcissistic. She's just super manipulative. And so I kind of just pull from people I know, and I try to let the stories within WWE strike something real in me. So whatever storyline I'm in with whoever I'm in it with, I try to just find some sort of relatable real life factor in it. But yeah, I definitely do a lot of brainstorming and creative work at home to like perfect my character. I think my character work is probably the thing I hold dearest to me in my performance in the WWE.
And it looks like a huge part of it.
It is. It is. I mean, I would argue it's more than 50% of it, right? You can be a great wrestler, but if you don't have the persona or something relatable or something hateable to go along with it, then it's only half the pie.
Right.
By the way, did you know that in the Middle East, the WWE and wrestling and all that is super popular?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Only because I see my like DMs and like the people that follow me. Oh, and I wrestled in Saudi Arabia last year.
Right. You guys have a new 10-year deal with them.
Yeah.
So how was it performing there?
I mean, it was crazy. It was like an amazing experience, actually. They hosted this huge party for us and we got to taste all the food from there and kind of see a little bit about the culture and how things work there. And I mean, they treated us great and it was a good experience. It was pretty cool. I like traveling with WWE in general. And so anytime I get to go somewhere new and experience, really, I'm a foodie. So to experience new food, I'm like, okay, I'm in. It was a really cool experience. And we got to do something that hasn't really been done there. Women got to compete and perform for the first time. So
did you change your attire and everything from what you usually do? Was that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. I wore like basically a full cat suit. Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of hot. Still works.
Yeah. It was so cool.
So I have a friend too, much like Gabriella's stepdad, who's a huge fan. And he helped me with questions and ideas. And one of his questions was,
oh,
he's talking about in-ring and out-ring. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, going through the explanation. Now I see it. You have such a huge personality and you're so good at talking from the videos that I've seen that they put you out as like an authority figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're wearing these ridiculously tailored, beautiful suits. Have you seen those pictures, Gabriella?
Wait, I'm not following.
Okay. I'm going to let her explain the two differences.
So I think what she's talking about is I was obviously always an in-ring competitor, but there was like a year and a half of time where I was put into an authority role. I was the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown. So I played kind of like a boss bitch on TV.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which I can see. Checks out. Yeah.
And so I like wearing suits in my real life. And so I was like, you know what? No females wear suits on WWE yet. And so I want to just wear what I'm comfortable in. It was like really stressful finding outfits every week for work.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
right.
And I was like, you know what? What would I genuinely feel like awesome in? Like, what would I feel cool in? Like, I want to wear what I feel comfortable in. So I was like, I love how I feel in a suit. So I met with a couple custom suit designers and they basically dressed me the whole year that I was GM, and I had a new suit pretty much every week. And yeah, I was rocking 3-piece suits and running the show.
Well, how was that? Do you prefer that to being in the ring, or is it just completely different?
It was really cool. It was really cool because not a lot of female superstars get a role like that. And so it was kind of cool to be one of a group of a few. But I also enjoy a mix of both, right? I like being able to perform and also being able to fight. Once I got back in the ring, it was kind of like an evolution of getting more mic time and getting to talk more. And also getting to wrestle again. So I feel like I'm in my sweet spot right now where I get to kind of blend both the things that I love to do.
The fighting looks really fun.
I've taken like boxing classes and, I feel like it's so hard.
It's,
you know,
it's
you guys make
exhausting.
It look easy and fun, but it's not easy what you do. And so you're training and everything. So silly questions, but how many pull-ups can you do?
Oh, gosh. Currently, not that many. Maybe 5 or 6.
That's impressive. Yeah. I can't, yeah.
I can't get up the first time.
No, that's a goal of mine for 2023. Yeah. I'm going to try to do one.
One is good. My girlfriend definitely schools me on that. She competes in fitness and she's like a freak of nature. She's so strong. Especially when she's getting close to like her show date, she's like getting stronger and stronger and she can do like 15 pull-ups. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I feel really weak right now. But yeah, she's cool.
Do you practice the moves on her sometimes?
No, she gets scared and hates it. She's like very girly and like, don't touch me.
Well, they look intense. I don't blame her.
I'm like,
her.
Babe, let me just pick you up for a suplex. And she's like, no.
Throw you over. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Just body slam you.
I was like, let me just body slam you one time.
So what is your mom now? So at 15, like she was like, go the music direction. You're like, no, thank you. But then she's super supportive. So like today, mom, where's mom at with everything?
Number one fan, mom and dad. They're both like my biggest supporters. It's funny because they took different routes, right? When I started the MMA thing, my dad was like, what the hell are you doing? Like typical old school Italian dad. Yes. Like, what are you doing? You're getting punched in the face for a living. How's this going to be a career path? Like, what's the end game? And I was like, trust me, it's going to work, whatever. And, I mean, I didn't know that, but I would say that.
Right. I'm like, I got this, yeah.
And now they're like my number one fans. Anytime I'm within like a 500-mile radius of their town at a show, they drive, they fly, they come to like every show. Yeah, they think it's the coolest thing ever. My mom definitely like tells my dad still like, I believed in her back then. I knew. And you know, my dad's like, oh my God.
I did this. I made this happen.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have 2 sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister, so I'm the middle.
Okay. What do they do?
They're so cool. One is a very successful realtor in Connecticut. And then my younger sister is a EMT, a volunteer firefighter, and also works private security. So she's pretty
Jesus
much
Christ.
Damn.
A lethal weapon. Yeah.
All three of you together are just something else.
We're all like kind of tied in because me and Tony invested real estate together. And so we use my sister. And so we're all kind of looped in somehow. And my little sister could probably fight.
So you're so busy. How did you end up creating a donut company? How did that happen?
So me and my best friend, Mandy, we used to travel on the road together in WWE. And we used to go to different donut shops and taste different donuts and do like a YouTube series. And we would rate the donut shops and say if they were good or bad. And we called it the Mandy's Donuts for Darry and Mandy. And after doing that for like years, we're like, why don't we make our own donut? We're branding the heck out of these donuts, but they're not even our donuts. Let's make our own donut. Because at this point, we're donut connoisseurs, I think, because we've tasted every donut across
absolutely.
The country,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we met with some chefs and different business partners, and we ended up curating 6 donut recipes. And we ended up launching a year ago, going the virtual route. And so we have virtual kitchens in LA that are serviced through Uber Eats and DoorDash. Yeah. So we're available for order in the Santa Monica area right now on Uber Eats.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how is it running a business? Obviously, you have your hands in a bunch of different types of things now. Is this like, oh, right, I feel like I've taken on too much, because you went from doing something like a passion of loving donuts and tasting them, right? But then actually starting a business with a good friend of yours, too, is a whole other full-time job. How's that been?
It's been really fun and it's taught me a lot. And it's like, I have a very like interesting mentality on things because my path like to success wasn't like this. It was definitely like, skirt. Like there was a lot of like peaks and valleys throughout the way. So I'm a very firm believer that like you have to fail to succeed.
Yes. Yeah.
Almost if it's too easy, I'm like, it's too good to be true. Like something's wrong. When we have like difficulties and trouble along the way, I'm like, okay, we're on the path. I know it. And so I have a bit of like a reverse mentality when it comes to that, but it's been really fun. The virtual kitchen thing was something I'd never even heard of. So we partnered with our partner company, Kitchen Data Systems, KDS. And kind of showed us the business model. And we were like, it makes a lot of sense for us because we don't have time to sit and run a brick and mortar right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the next big thing.
Yeah. Honestly, what's been taking over a lot of my time right now is the real estate end of it too. So I've always invested in real estate. Well, over the past like 5 years, rental properties and short-term rental properties. And now me and my girlfriend have just started flipping houses.
Okay, so I'm really into this stuff too. Can you give me some tips?
Okay, so I was always scared to death of flipping, and I really wanted to stick with short-term and long-term rentals. And I fell into my first long-term rental by accident. I built a primary house that I thought I was going to live in for a long time. And then I ended up needing to move. And so I was like, all right, let me just rent it out right now while I'm figuring out what my next move is. And so I rented it out, and I was, after I paid everything, I was making like $1,000 in profit a month. And I was like, oh my gosh, this works. And I didn't even do it on purpose. I was like, imagine if I had 10 or 15 of these.
Yeah.
That would be a really lucrative passive income stream. And so I started obsessing over real estate, listening to Bigger Pockets podcast, which I'm addicted to now. And a year later, I bought another property. It was my primary. I lived in it. Now I have it rented out and almost tripled the profit monthly of the first one. And so I was like, this is really a good method. My most recent property is a short-term rental. It's an Airbnb. It's in the Disney area, which is a super competitive market. So at first I was like, I don't know if it's going to do that great. A realtor investor friend of mine had called, he got the listing, and he's like, I think this is a good one. And so I ended up buying it, and it's great. I had a management company on it.
Okay. I was going to say management company is the way to go, right?
So Airbnb management company, you're going to pay 20% minimum. So that's a lot of your profit.
Right, right.
But my advice would be to work with a management company that's going to teach you how to potentially self-manage. So that way you can put them on for a year. They can get your property up and running properly and then kind of teach you the ways.
Gotcha.
What I've realized over the course of the last few years is like a lot of it is really just networking and having a good Rolodex of people on your call list.
Like a good handyman, like those types of things. Yeah,
exactly. And so just infiltrating an area you feel comfortable with. Obviously, you can do it from a distance. The Airbnb property I've never even seen. The first time I even walked in it was like a month ago. I bought it sight unseen. It was already furnished. It came furnished, and I just put a management company on it, and it's been doing great. But with the flip, it was actually accidental. We were house hunting and we found this little lake community, and we saw this beautiful lake view house with like these panoramic windows, and it's like cabin vibe, but it's like run down.
Right.
And so me and my girlfriend put in an offer and they accepted it.
And
it
was, and you're like, oh shit. Now this is real.
Everyone, now it's happening. But we ended up like figuring out that the area we live in is super tight knit and small town vibe. And so we ended up meeting like a lot of people through mutual connections and like putting together a really solid team of like contractor, architect, roofer, like all the things we needed kind of just like weirdly fell into place. And the numbers just made sense. And so we're actually starting our first flip next week.
Oh,
that's
good luck. Yeah.
And you're doing it with your girlfriend. So you guys are teaming up. This will be an interesting ride too. Right?
It's actually the second house we bought. We bought a house together when we were dating for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And like, it's really crazy because most of the time my family would be like, what are you doing? But like, they all kind of, the second they met Tony, they just like knew. Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, it's totally fine. And so we have a few houses together now, but this is our first flip property. And so we're like super excited.
Meanwhile, I still have a donut question.
Oh yeah, go. Sorry. Orly's like snoozing over real estate. She's like,
I'm
I'm drooling over the donuts. And let's go back to the donuts.
Go back to the donuts.
I was just thinking, it's funny because most athletes would do like, you know, kale juice enterprise or something. I mean, I love it. I love that. Like an athlete, a full-on athlete is like, you know what? I have a fucking donut business. And I love that. It's just not a very common thing.
The thing is that we're both from the Northeast, me and Mandy, and we grew up eating pasta, pizza, chicken, cutlet. Like we grew up eating good food. And so even though we eat predominantly well and we work out hard, the biggest reason I work out is so that I can eat things like donuts.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Same. I love my food. Yeah. Okay. I have to have my cheats.
I love hearing that from athletes. You don't understand how much, because I'm not even close to being an athlete, by the way. It's not even comparing
She's
the
got
two.
Some guns,
but I'm
though.
Like, no,
you should,
I'm not.
Let me show your muscles.
Let me say.
Okay, I'll show you just a little bit. Okay.
No, she's got. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Right. Well,
if you want me to wrestle,
you're
you
cut.
Let me know.
She is.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And we thought about going like the protein donut route. We experimented with it. And we did a couple pop-up shops and stuff. And then we were like, but we don't eat protein donuts.
Right.
I was like, no, let's like do a
Real
just
thing.
A donut.
Yeah.
Like a real donut. Like
you deserve to have one real treat. This is your secret sauce, I'll tell you, is that you've always gone into everything with like an authenticity, and here's who I am. I'm not going to change it. And that's what you got to just keep doing, because that is what has brought you to success. You know what I mean? So
I think love it's great. That.
All right, let's go into rapid fire questions. Do you speak another language?
No, not fluent.
What do you dabble in though, at all?
Spanish. I mean, I learned Spanish my whole life, but yeah.
Okay.
Un poquito.
Perfecto. What's a lesson that took you a long time to learn?
When there's drama and people are treating you poorly, it's most always something that's going on in their life internally. It's not personal to you. So don't sweat the small stuff and don't take everything so personal.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Lately, more of a night owl, but my whole life I would have said morning person. Yeah.
So what do you mean lately? Like, are you going to the clubs or what's...
No. When I say night owl, I mean like eating Tostitos in bed and watching a good
looking
movie.
Looking at Zillow.
So like 1 a.m. Looking at Zillow. Yes. Yeah. Literally looking at Zillow.
Yep.
Do you learn by watching or do you learn by doing?
Doing.
Yeah. Are you a person who reads directions and instructions?
No, I can't. I don't comprehend well. I need to like just
swing
do
it.
Yeah.
That's how I am too. Just jump right in, you know? Comfort TV show or movie?
Oh, I mean, comfort Friends is always a good go-to.
Yeah. Your very first job?
At a 5 and 10 store. It was called Binkley's 5 and 10. It was like, you know, a little craft store.
Aww.
It was the only place that would hire a 12-year-old. So
you started working at 12?
My God. Guys, I was like a little baby hustler. I was obsessed with money. I was obsessed with having my own. So yeah, I was like 12 or 13.
Wow. If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
To see the future.
What could you eat for a week straight?
Pizza.
I love pizza.
Done.
Favorite hobby to pass time?
Golfing.
Really?
Oh.
Love
her
it.
Husband's really into golfing.
Really?
Yeah.
You need to go with him. I've tried. So underratedly fun.
You need patience for golfing, right?
Yeah. I don't like going with more than like 3 people, but if it's just you and your husband, you can go quick. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get in the cart, on to the next.
Miniature golfing. I could do.
Okay. I don't know, Gabrielle. Let's move on before we embarrass ourselves.
Oh, by the way, a plug on him. He has a company called Golf Gummies, which is CBD for golfers. You should check it out. Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Ideal date night?
Ooh, picnic on the floor in front of our fireplace in our house. Just like munching out, eating all the good food, watching 5 movies back to back, staying up all night, and then just hanging.
Sounds amazing to me too.
Yeah, right? Just like food.
Yeah.
Good shows. Yeah, it's, yeah. I'm big on that.
Do you sleep with stuffed animals or a blankie?
No.
That was her question.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, I know. She's like,
that's amazing.
What's wrong with you? Okay. Do you like surprises?
No.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Hate surprises.
What would your girlfriend say is her biggest pet peeve about you?
Okay, I know this is going to sound really bad, but like she doesn't think I can do any wrong. If you were to ask her right now, she would be like, I can't think of anything. Like she would genuinely tell you that.
She would have no pet peeves about you. She thinks you're perfect.
Yeah,
I
know.
I thought that was her pet peeve, that you don't do anything wrong.
Maybe that would be her.
Because that would annoy me if the person never did anything wrong. Like, just
She doesn't see it. She has like her rose colored glasses on with me still. I'm just kidding.
She but, like, loves you. That's
yeah.
All right, last question. Tell us something we don't know about yourself. Something that would surprise us or shock us.
Ooh, I would say that I love golf, but you already got that out of me. Okay. I always wanted to be a chef when I was younger. And that was like my obsession. But I'm really not good at cooking.
Very different than what you do.
Yeah. But no, but she's got the donut business, so that makes sense.
But yeah, I can eat a donut.
Yeah.
She can't make the donut, which is fine.
Ideas.
Yeah.
I'm just not, the execution of it.
But you figured it out. So
I did.
Somebody else to execute the idea, and then you actually built it.
That's right. I'm a foodie. Like, yeah. I have the food knowledge. I should not be the one in the kitchen cooking it.
All right. Well, Daria, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sonia Deville WWE. Yeah, pretty much everywhere at Sonia Deville WWE. I'm also on TikTok, but yeah, mostly Instagram and Twitter.
And anything coming up that you'd like to share?
Follow me on Instagram for my potential house flipping journey. Yeah. You guys that, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, and you can always watch me on Friday Night SmackDown on Fox every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. That's so much fun getting to
thank
know you.
Yes,
that was so fun. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Tell Us Something We Don't Know. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at TUSWDK or email us at info@tellussomethingwedontknow.com. Audio and editing by Simon Greffenstedt and theme music provided by Signature Tracks.